Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Special guest, Jazzy Jay.
No.
That's right.
The other host.
Special guest. I like the phrase special guest because it makes me the special one here.
Oh, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to like rebrand.
Look, the thing is, it's just a bummer that apparently the Little Colonels don't want you to be the special guest. It's mostly what they're broadcasting at this point.
Listen, you just tell yourself whatever helps you sleep at night, but I will not be conned into thinking special guest is the way to go.
Look, that's for the Little Colonels to decide, Ben. That's for the Little Colonels to decide. As a special guest, I totally failed last week and forgot to prompt you for a corny joke, so allow me to prompt you.
Oh, I feel so prompted.
Let's hear it.
Jay, what does a nut say when it sneezes?
What does a nut say when it sneezes? I have no idea.
Cashew.
Cashew.
I know, I kind of wanted to read it like as like a cashew.
I wasn't sure if you were saying, if this was like the sound of the sneeze or like the, oh, bless you.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I was trying to think of a nut-based pun for like Gesundheit or something.
Hey, do you sneeze when you look at the sun?
Oh, Ben, I feel like you're prompting me now because yeah. Absolutely. I think if you know me, one of the things you might even... you know Jonathan Carlin, the guy who sneezes?
It's like what you're known for.
I feel like if you know me long enough, you will come across this particular aspect of me, which is that the sun, or in general, just bright lights prompts sneezing. And I don't know what has happened, but in the last 2 or 3 years, it has gotten out of control.
You sneeze in fits.
Dude, I do. Like, historically, when I would, like, walk outside or something, like, the bright light would make me sneeze.
Right.
So the sun is a really great agitator for this particular thing. It's not like, and it sounds weird. It sounds like, what are you allergic to, sunlight? It's like, no, there is like an actual, I think, condition. I think I made a video about this in year one, that I think it only affects like 5% of the population. But as I understand it, I want to say what's happening is like your brain has like cross-wired like dust and bright lights in sneezing.
Yeah. So I looked it up while you were talking here.
Yeah.
It says sun sneezers have a certain piece of DNA that's different from non-sun sneezers. This genetic change is passed down from generation to generation, and it causes a mix-up in the brain, making sunlight trigger a sneezing reflex.
Yes.
This is like one of those odd things where it has happened to me my whole life, so I've just always assumed this is just like an absolute thing. Like, you go outside, you sneeze.
Right.
And it must be so odd for people that this does not affect them, and I bet it does seem like borderline like laughable. Like, that's so weird, the sun makes you sneeze.
Yeah, it probably does. But for me, and yeah, historically, it's like most of my life it'd be like, yeah, you walk out, you sneeze once, oh, that was annoying, and it's done.
Yeah.
But I recently it has been in fits of like 6 to 12.
Yeah, I usually like mark you at like 11, so like once this starts, I'm usually like I'll like make tallies, but they're not like, it's not like you're saying, you're not like cashew.
Oh,
you know,
no.
it's like cashew.
Yeah, it is like a lengthy process, and it is so frustrating because it like actively stops you from working on things.
Yeah,
you know, and I have to like blow my nose and just totally rid myself of the situation. It is very frustrating, And I don't, like, at once upon a time, I would have described sneezing as, like you know what, it's like almost fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, sneezing's like more, am I the only one who thought sneezing was fun? No more. I am beyond that now.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, although my thing with sneezing is that it gives me, like, chill bumps on my arms. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I sneeze, I always get chill bumps, and then I have to show everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, oh, look, chill bumps. You see them? You see them?
Yeah. The weird thing is, when you sneeze a lot, many times in a row, there is an absolute progression of concern that people will go through all the time.
Oh, yeah.
At first, it's the most common, oh, you sneeze once, you sneeze twice, bless you. Like, they're just being polite.
Sure.
After about, like, 4 to 6, people are like, are you okay? Like, do we need to, what's going on? Sure. And then, but then, after about, like, 8 or 9, it's just like, dude, are you done yet?
Like, it's like a wave people are riding. Yes. It's like general politeness, a growing concern, proper concern. Dude, you are being annoying.
Yes. It's like, you think I'm being annoying? My face is exploding. It's so frustrating. Although, actually, this reminds me of another, I said this, like, disrupts my workflow. Like, I was, like, sometimes it's annoying because I'll come in, like, from outside and the lights in our office might trigger it or something. Or maybe I turn around and the brightness from the window will trigger it.
Sure.
Or something. And it's like, I'm just sitting here trying to work on writing an email. And all of a sudden, it's taken, you know, I can't.
Right.
Because every 10 seconds, I sneeze again.
You become destined. It's like, do you know when it's going to be like a fit where you're just like, oh man, here we go.
It's like hiccups. You always think the last one is the last one. And you're like, you put every single hiccup, you put all of your eggs in the, I hope that was it. That was probably it, basket.
Yeah.
And then it's not.
You want to know what's so frustrating to me about hiccups? I want to come back to sneezes in a moment. But in 8th grade science, I had this teacher, Miss Wire, and she did this thing where I had the hiccups in class. I'm sitting in the front row and she was like, Ben, I'll give you another dollar. I'll give you a dollar if you can hiccup again. And like at this age of my life, I was like, this is the easiest dollar I'm going to make in my life. Cannot wait to take it to the vending machine after this.
Yeah.
Because like a dollar goes places, you know? I mean, like that's. Hey,
yeah. It's cool.
You can get yourself like a Pepsi Cola.
Yeah.
You know?
Pepsi Cola. Double oatmeal cream pie sandwich at lunch.
Maybe.
I got those anyway.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Man, this was such a thing in 8th grade, which was the worst year of my school life. But you know, like you bring like a check in and they put it in your little account, and, you know, whatever. And for all of my career as a student, I didn't realize I could just pick up anything I wanted and it would go on this tab until 8th grade. And every single day I would get this like jumbo double decker oatmeal cream pie. And just, you know, mom was just buying that for me every day, I guess.
That's amazing. She was like perfectly okay with it.
No, I just did it. And like, I wasn't like, mom, just so you know, when you're giving me the $25 for lunch this month, I am putting at least 40 cents a day.
So she didn't realize that she was having to give you that $25 check more frequently.
Probably, no.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, mom. Anyway, we're getting off track. I feel like I cut you off.
No, that's okay. Well, so once upon a time with hiccups, I like learned this fantastic trick and it worked so well. I was so excited about my $1, couldn't hiccup again.
Wow.
And I was like, what? This is the way you do it? And so like into adulthood, there have been so many occasions where I have like tried to play this card on people where like they've had the hiccups and I'm like, I'll give you $1 if you hiccup again. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like,
oh,
what?
Oh no.
But it worked on me.
It sounds to me like your teacher thought you were actively being, no, this doesn't make sense. You were like actively being annoying and she was trying to like prompt you. Because if you were just doing it on purpose, you would clearly just force another hiccup.
Yeah,
to
get the
dollar. Never mind. That doesn't make sense.
No. I think she knew. I struggled so hard in this particular class that this teacher who was like a known, like, challenging teacher.
Yeah.
Like she's like one of the ones where it's like, oh, you got her.
Yeah.
She, I think, had like a strange like soft spot for me where I think she was like trying to like nurture me a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So she was generally pretty kind to me as an individual in the class, which I actually did feel bad for because she was not kind to everybody.
You feel bad because she's being nice to you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're such a people pleaser, Ben.
Yeah, I know.
Such a people pleaser.
But no, so going back to sneezing. So I've talked about this in videos before, possibly even on the pod before. I didn't know how to blow my nose until I was like 22. Like,
dude, me neither.
True fact. This is like one of these things that like growing up, mom, like I don't know if it's that she ever taught us or if people aren't supposed to need to have been taught how to blow their nose.
This is, I know exactly what you mean. It's similar to like, did we not drink enough water? you know, which I think we must have. We're fine.
We made it.
Anytime I would see on TV someone who was like being represented as sick with just like tissues littered all around them, I was like, what is going on? This isn't how people look when they're sick.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I had the same thing, or like the kind of struggle that I felt like I go through. Like, tissues weren't even generally the solution to my runny nose problem. It was just sort of like sniffling all the time.
Yeah.
But like, I was not someone in my life who was a frequent, like, if we had a tissue box at our house, I feel like it could have lasted for like 6 years.
Probably.
Because no one was like, oh, let me grab a tissue to solve this nose running problem.
Right. The running, like, if you use a tissue on a runny nose, it was to wipe your nose, not to blow your nose.
And so this exact thing happened. I remember in sixth grade, which was your eighth grade year.
Yeah.
Same year going on with your oatmeal cream pies. I was in a math class, and I remember I was sitting there and like quietly doing this, like, we're taking a test. And so, like, every, you know, like 10 seconds, I'm not even focusing on the test anymore. I'm literally putting all of my energy into like counting the amount of time it's been since I last
sniffled.
Yeah. Since I last like disrupted the class by being like,
yeah.
And so finally I'm like, I'm so self-conscious about it. And you're like, it's one of these things where you're trying to convince yourself, like, nobody's noticing, like, you're the center of your own universe. You think you're disrupting everybody, but it's not that big of a deal. When this girl, Lauren, looks over at me and she does sort of like the hands on the face, you know, like sort of like I'm whispering at you. She's like, go blow your nose. And I put mine back up and I'm like, I don't know how.
You said that?
Yeah, it's like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, it's one of these things where in my mind, I'm like, that won't solve it. Like, there is no solution. I don't know how people can produce trumpet caliber amounts of air from their strills. You know, like, how are they delivering that much airflow outward like that? And I don't think it was until I took like scuba diving lessons where you wear like the mask that sort of like encloses your nose.
Yeah.
You know, like it's all up in there. And so I think after scuba diving, it kept being this case that like I had like just gunk, which is probably way too much information.
Wow.
But like, I think this is the moment in my life where I was like, man, I need to really like clear this stuff out.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was just like, oh. And you want to know what? When you blow your nose, runny nose is not as big of a problem because you're like getting ahead of the curve a little bit.
Yeah. There's nothing to run out.
Nothing to run out.
Yeah. That's, wow, this has been TMI with Ben and Jay.
With Ben and Jay.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so as an adult, I do know how to blow my nose, and it is often the solution to my sneezing fits.
So proud of you.
Yes. But so, let me circle back. I have another question for you.
Okay.
This is tangentially related.
Okay. I always think it's important to define how related the new topic is going to be. I think our office does this, but I'm cutting you off completely. But like our office has like layers where they're like semi-related, not related at all, tangentially related. Like, we all use these qualifiers inside of our office where it's like, I'm going to change the subject. And then, but before I do it, I will let you know the amount at which we're talking about the existing topic.
Right. It's like, you don't want to be impolite by shifting the subject, but something someone said reminded you of something and you want to talk about that now.
Yeah. So yes. It's like totally not related, but.
So I have a different issue. Like, sometimes like if sneezing might stop me from producing work. Another issue I have is that back in high school, the worst, my least favorite thing about all school is homework. Because to me, I remember even as a first grader feeling the injustice of homework. Like they send you home and you still have to do school. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not at school anymore. What gives? And like this was like a genuine thing that just never went away. Like, my whole life.
Like, you were just always frustrated by
it. Right. Like, it was like my brain was like refusing to accept. Like, certainly someone was going to realize that these teachers were assigning homework in this completely unfair way, and it would be stopped. And gosh. I don't know. That sounds silly, but homework, the worst.
Yeah, no, completely agreed.
Anyway.
I'm sure that people everywhere are applauding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The very best part, let me tell you guys something. The very, very best part about being an adult is that you don't have homework.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is the most true thing.
Oh, homework's terrible. I didn't like it at all. But anyway, you have to do it. So, my typical routine before doing homework was like, we'd end the school day. We'd normally have like some sort of like cross country or track or soccer practice or something.
Right.
And then come home, you eat dinner, and now it's finally time. I can't put it off. I have no more excuses.
No more excuses.
Must do the homework.
Sure.
So my solution was always, okay, I would sit down and be like, in a last ditch effort to postpone doing this at all costs, was I would go to the bathroom. Like, I would just, like, go pee, which is, like, what buys you, like, 20 seconds or something.
Worth it.
Worth it.
You're worth
like,
it.
I don't want to start. I guess I could go pee. Anyway, so I would do that every single day. I would postpone my homework by another 30 seconds or so by just running to the bathroom. The problem is that
you have, like, weaponized the use of going to the bathroom on the assault against doing work your whole life.
It has. But it has backfired to an extent now because, like, I just trained my body to, like, react this way before I start work.
So now it always happens.
It'll be so frustrating. I'll just sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to sit down and start. And it'll be like, I will get, you know, one sentence into typing something. It'll be like, oh my God, I have to go to the bathroom. Have to go.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so frustrating.
No, okay, so on that exact same note. So do you remember, like, growing up at, like, summer parties and stuff, there was always this sort of, like, idea that if, like, the first person who fell asleep, like, if you put their fingers, like, in warm water, that it would make them, like, have to pee.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a prank you could pull on, like, that person, and it was, like, don't fall asleep first because you don't want it to happen to you. And I was always like, that makes no sense. Like, why would that make you have to pee? Well, it turns out that either my psychology has decided... It turns out one of two things. One, it's just always worked. Or two, my psychology has made it so that it works in a way that I fall asleep with a warm bowl of water. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's this thing that'll happen to me, though, where I will, like, go and take the dogs out or whatever. And, like, when I come back in, like, I'll wash my hands. And when I wash my hands, it's with warm water, which usually makes me have to pee.
Yes.
And so then it's like, well, I just wash my hands, but then you have to go to the bathroom and you just wash your hands again.
Oh, yes.
And it's like this whole thing I put in motion because my dog was scratching at the door.
Right.
So I had to go outside, take them out, and then I came back in, had to wash my hands, and then when I washed my hands, made me have to go to the bathroom, and then had to wash them again.
Right, and there's no solution, because it's not like, well, let's just go to the bathroom first, because it's like, you have to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
The hand washing prompted it, and then you have to. And then, also because you just washed your hands, now your pants are wet.
Oh, man, so it's all just one really tremendous cycle.
Just one tremendous cycle.
Completely unavoidable.
That's
so,
right.
Okay, so, like, this is the case, though. So you're like, settling in to go to work. Like, is this just, like, the start of every, like, work day? Or if, like, we've been, like, off doing something fun in the office, like playing video games or something, and it's like, all right, we should probably get back to work. And you're like, before I do that. Like, it'll just hit you, like, at any point in the day?
If like, I'm about to sit down, it's the most annoying, which isn't, like, typically, like, a huge deal if you just have to run in the bathroom, but it's the most annoying if I, like, suddenly have, like, I gotta do this real quick. And, like,
right.
And I'm like, it's a sense of urgency, because then as soon as I sit down, it's like, no, don't do work. You need to go to the bathroom, Jonathan. It's like, no, this is,
we're not doing that battle anymore, body. We're over it.
We're done. Homework is over. Like, I can say this out loud. I can think it. And it's like, my body's like, yeah, well, we already built the road, so, you know.
Now that it's there, we pretty much have to use it for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I'm curious if other people have, like, trained their bodies to do certain things at, like, prompted by other occasions.
Yeah, well, that is the thing, too. It's like going on road trips. Like, I frequently think that, you know, like, everybody knows that person in their like, life or family, that when they go on, like, a long road trip, it's like, can we stop at the next exit to go to the bathroom, please? And it's like, oh my God, we just stopped. You know, why didn't you go while we were getting gas?
I didn't have to go there.
Yeah. And this is, like, one of those things where there was a period of my life where I got, like, super, like, way too aware of the thought that, like, I was in the car with someone who I really did not want to ask to stop. And therefore, I would always start thinking about, like, oh my gosh, well, if I start thinking about having to pee, then I'm going to have to stop. And then it's going to be this whole thing, and it's going to, like, slow down their productivity. And so I, like, ran into this problem where I was constantly going on these long car trips with these, like, other, you know, professional people. And I was like, every single time I got in the car, something that's never plagued me my whole life, all of a sudden, I always had to pee.
Oh no.
And it was just like, it was one of these things where I dreaded it, because it was like, I would go in and be like, oh man, this is going to be terrible. I have, like, 3 hours in the car and I already have to go. And it's like, I'm just gonna have to hold it, because there's no way in the world I'm asking these people to stop for me.
Yeah.
And so for, like, probably like 2 years, that was just, like, something I just dealt with all the time.
Sounds like dangerous.
Is it dangerous?
I don't know. To, like, hold it that long?
Maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Think you should do that.
Well, it happened. This also happened with movies. One of the things about like going to the movie theater is like, especially if you're watching like a brand new movie or something, like you don't want to miss like a single thing because nobody's going to pause it for you. Unfortunately, I asked. And it hasn't been until we started the Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel and we started going to like opening night for so many movies.
Yeah.
And very frequently, we only have that one opportunity to watch the movie before we go in and review it on the channel the next morning.
Right.
And so same thing, like my entire life, I don't think that I had ever left a movie theater to go to the bathroom mid-movie.
Right.
And all of a sudden, when it's like, dude, you can't miss, like, you know, 2.5 minutes of this movie right now.
You don't know what's going to happen in the next 2.5 minutes.
Right. Like, what if it's the most important piece?
Right.
And you could, like, say something super witty about it, and people will think you're, like, an internet genius.
Right. Or you make some joke about a giant plot hole that, in fact, was explained.
Right. Oh. Yeah. That would be the worst.
Can't have that.
Like, no, they actually explained it when you went to the bathroom. Like, no! So now this is like a tragic thing that happens to me every time we go to movies where it's like, by the time the movie is over, especially Marvel movies where there's a post-credit scene, I'm like sitting there like kneading my like quads. Uh-huh. Like, I'm like, okay, let's get out of here right now.
Marvel in particular has like made it like an inside joke how long their credits are too.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. It's like,
they are exceptionally long.
Why do so many people have to help?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, maybe they're like slowing it down or something. Like, could you make it go faster?
I know.
Like, does it need to be 15 minutes?
Because it is.
Yeah, but like, they know you're waiting. I feel like they're like, God, this is my own secret prank.
Yeah, right. Someone somewhere is in charge of setting the speed on the credits.
Right.
And they're like, technically I'm authorized to go as fast as 75%, but what's 47?
Do you think there are guidelines for how slow the credits like are like must be? Like, is there like a speed limit on credits?
Well, I've wondered this so frequently before because the fact like credits are like this really odd thing, like where it seems like it's functionally important to the movie to make sure that like it includes giving credit to all the people who have helped in whatever capacity is relevant to, you know, the movie. But no one ever reads the credits. So like, I don't know if credits are functionally serving something else where it's like, you know, you need to prove that you actually did in fact help on, you know, Avengers Age of Ultron and you can go to the credits to prove it. Like, that is literally the confirmation certificate that you get from that movie from having worked on it is like, there is my name in the credits. I worked on this project and I can prove it.
Sure.
Like, there's that. But then on the flip side, very frequently like Netflix or any of these like streaming services or sometimes even just like live TV, as one episode ends, in order to like get you to jump into the next one, they will basically like cut off the credits and immediately start playing into the next episode.
Yeah. Or so, they'll do the thing where they like shrink the window down to like 10% size and play the credits at 2x speed.
Right. So it's like bleep, 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 bleep. And then, you know, like then the next thing, and then it goes away. And then you're just watching the next episode all of a sudden, which is a great way to keep you in your seat, but a bad way if the credits are supposed to be doing something.
Well, I have thought this before too. HBO, I have always noticed, will not do this. They will always play the full credits in their regular runtime speed.
Right.
I've always been like, good for you, HBO. Good. Like, it's never really bothered me, but certainly TV shows are the greatest, or like network cable TV shows are the greatest offenders on this, where they will just blast through the credits like no one cares, doesn't matter. Which it's this weird double-edged sword where you're like, it is actively disrespectful to all the people who made this show.
Oh, for sure.
But also, I'm not going to know who those people are. I'm not going to like, you know, I probably wasn't going to read them, but I like still, it still bothers me that it's disrespectful.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, and that, yeah, it's the thing too, is that like so much of what the credits are going to are like specific like industry terms that you probably don't understand, like second rigger on the third platform of whatever, or something like that, you know. And it's like, if you have no idea what any of those words mean, which by the way I don't, like the context of my name potentially being next to one of those things is very minimal.
So
it's not exactly like, you know, you're getting the greatest sense of like notoriety, but at the same rate I feel like I totally would. Like, if I helped on a Marvel movie and my name was going to be in the credits, you can sure as heck bet that I would be like so anxiously awaiting seeing like my little blurb up there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Maybe what we should do is we should go through and just pick like your favorite Marvel movie and pick a section of the credits, like, I don't know, like lighting, and just see who was like the lead lighting technician or whatever.
Become a fan of the lead.
Become a fan of that person. Then every Marvel movie would be like, did they get Ted again?
Oh, they did!
Ted! Oh, Teddy man. Boy!
That guy!
We need, oh, and, but, like, actually, what you should really do is pick, like, the assistant to. Like, pick someone who has, like, somewhere to grow.
Somewhere to go.
Yeah, so it's like...
I think it's called the best boy, which is a really weird term for, like, the second in command of lighting.
Is best boy?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. What, I'll fact check
what
that
a
for you.
Really, really funny name
yeah.
for something. I'm the best boy on set. It's yeah. like, that's not as cool as first mate.
Yeah. yeah. So that would, no, that's a good one. Okay. I like this.
Okay. So we'll become fans of someone who has somewhere to go, and then we will watch their career via the credits.
Oh, that'd be, what a fun new, like, sport.
I know, it's like fantasy football.
Fantasy credits,
yeah.
Except you could totally cheat by just, like, they would keep this information secret.
Oh, right, yeah, true.
Yeah, or I wonder if you're, like, more in the industry and you're, like, really familiar with so many different, like, studios, if looking at the credits, like, you recognize a lot of names. Like, maybe Hollywood's not as big as you think.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of thing.
So, like, the idea that could even potentially be that, like, out of all the credits you've ever sat through in your entire life, you know, if that's, I don't know, 1,000 movies or whatever, how, like, the same people, chances are, have worked on 10%.
Oh, right. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Of all of the movies you've ever watched. It's, like, the same...
Interesting.
The same people.
Boy. So much to dig into with the credits.
I know. Like, it's
like, you're like, I'm gonna go watch a movie.
I'm a huge credits nerd, actually. I have baseball cards. Well, not baseball cards. I have credit cards. Well, no, human cards. Oh, we've come full circle.
There it is. People cards or whatever.
People cards.
What were we calling them?
We gave them a name. Like, going back, I think it was like our first
calling
episode.
Cards. I think is what they're actually called.
Calling cards. Yeah. Okay, but like we were going to make them at some point in time, and they were going to be like stainless steel, like business cards.
That's
like
right.
For us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still want to do that really badly.
You do?
We should circle back at some point.
I feel like it's worth noting that I have been in the credits of one movie before.
We have talked about this on the pot before.
I'm pretty sure we have.
I think you have to bring it up every time we talk about credits.
Well, we've never talked about credits so in-depthly.
What was your position, like,
locations assistant?
Whoa.
Yeah. So on the leaderboard of, I don't know, if you were looking at the org chart of a movie production.
Yeah.
Thing, you know, at the very top you'd have the director, and at the, you know, maybe like 100 rungs down you'd have production assistants.
Okay.
Right, those are basically the unpaid interns who are just trying to, like, crack their way into showbiz and be like, yeah, I worked on a movie set, hire me to do this other thing now.
You can see my name in the credits.
So I would say that if that's like tier 100, I was at like tier 99.
Oh,
which
wow.
is locations assistant. There was the whole department was locations director, and then me, locations assistant. So, you know, pretty big deal on set.
Did you have your eyes on that director position, though? Were you like, someday?
Not at all.
Someday. Nope. I'm going to walk around.
It was such a weird thing because it happened so quickly that I got recruited to work on this movie because I was just doing, like, grip work for a local, like, video production crew that made, like, promotional videos for local businesses and stuff.
Right.
And because...
So you like, set up the lights and... Stuff like that?
Like for them, yes.
For
not
them.
For the movie.
No, I understand. Yeah.
For the movie, my main job was like setting up the tents and chairs and tables, and I think we had to like back in all the trailers for the actors and actresses and stuff like that to stay in. So it was like taking care of just stuff that was about the physical place they were shooting.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was such glamorous work. I had to drive like a semi, like I don't know, if you would say like a tractor trailer, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have to drive a tractor trailer, but like a half size.
Like a small
like
tractor
a small,
trailer.
Yeah.
That's cool. I never knew that.
Oh, dude. It was, yeah, I had to drive this thing around all the time, and largely what I had to do, this was so terrible, I had to pack up, there were these, like, giant tables that everyone would eat lunch at.
Okay.
And they were just, like, mishmashed together that the producer had, like, found, like, someone who would, like, you know, basically rent out all these tables and chairs to the production for free for the next month or whatever.
Sure.
So they were not, like, you know, even, they weren't, like, cohesively looking the same. It was like, oh, this table's legs open this way, and this one folds down that way, and, you know, oh, these chairs are pretty much better, and there's always that one with the weird, you know. They
so you got them from, like, Assorted Surfaces?
It was, I think it was from, like, I think militia seems like the wrong word, but it was, like, the... the rock, I want to say that's what it was, like the Rocky Mountain Militia. Do you remember this place when we were kids? There was like a, I don't know, there was like a gym inside and they had like a helicopter and like an army looking Jeep out front. It was sort of like,
I do remember this. Yeah. Super vaguely.
Yeah.
It might, I mean, we did grow up in like a corner of the South, so
yeah,
it would not surprise me if that is what it was called.
Anyway, that's where they got the tables and chairs from. And
okay.
I had to.
Not assorted surfaces.
Nope. I had to load up all of these giant tables and chairs over and over and move them from location to location and then reset them up and fit whatever else, you know, needed to go in the back of the truck, in the back of the truck. But it was massive, you know, and sometimes, and we're shooting at the lake. Right. So sometimes when you're getting down to these lake houses, it's like these tiny narrow roads and you're in this huge truck and it was not easy to navigate for sure. I mean, so big.
I also feel like maybe there's a chance that I don't know for sure. Were you qualified to drive that kind of vehicle?
I certainly did drive it.
Okay.
I don't know. I remember, though, there was one moment on set where I thought, I have hot flashes about it sometimes, just thinking about it, where, like, because the lower down you are on the totem pole on, like, a movie set, like, the smaller the mistake you can make to just be, like, off the crew, right? Like, if you're high up and you make a mistake, whatever, it's forgivable. If you're really low and you make a mistake, then,
it's like, that's
like
it.
Whatever. Like, yeah, we're not, you know, who cares?
Get this kid out of here.
Yeah. So I was one day having to set up all the tables and chairs again, and
hold on, real quick question about that. Did you take, like, an enormous amount of pride in it? Like, did you, like, put your very best? Or was it just sort of like, whatever, just put it out?
Oh, no, yeah. The only way to survive in situations like this is to put as much pride into whatever you're doing as possible.
Okay, so perfectly straight
chairs. Because, I took pride in, like, the speed in which I could do it.
Okay.
Like, I was, you know, because it was a lot of work. I could do it, you know, load all these things up. You had to get there, like, ahead of everybody.
Right.
You had everything set up before everyone gets there because there was nowhere to sit, stuff like that. But I'm in this parking lot because we're shooting in the downtown area of some town. I don't even know what town. And I'm backing up so I can unload under this pavilion. And I am backing up and I get out and I've like hit the brakes and I come and I go and look at the bumper and I am like less than an inch away from like smashing into some very expensive looking Mercedes. And like, it was just like so horrifying to me how close I came to having to go up to the producer and be like, Sarah Elizabeth, I did a thing and I don't know what to do. And, you know, like
if it was me, I would leave.
Like, well, that's it.
Like, whatever happened to that one guy?
Yeah, except, again, we're off in the middle of nowhere in downtown. My ride was the truck, you know?
Oh, gosh.
I had to wake up extra early, beat the whole crew. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, I think about it. I'm like, man, I don't know what I would have done if I had just, like, crunched into some random civilian's car with this giant truck and had to go, like, make the producers deal with it.
Right. Like, yeah. Find a way for that to be okay, I guess?
Yeah, like,
oh my gosh.
I hit a car.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Shopify. You know, when we first started on our journey of making videos for the internet, the idea of ever reaching a stage where we had, like, you know, merch seemed like a pipe dream, like a crazy milestone that was almost too ambitious to even think could be on the horizon. But then when the day came to do it, there presented the huge question of how do we do it? Where do we go? Where do we start? And the answer turned out to be Shopify. Here's the thing. When you're in this world, there's a lot of hats you're always trying to wear. There's the most fundamental aspects of coming up with new ideas and learning your way around cameras, but otherwise you're just kind of thrust into the deep end of operating a business. But that's where Shopify comes in clutch. The user dashboard is so intuitive. It's ridiculously easy to run reports and learn what products are killing it and which ones aren't. It's like having a sales professional on staff to help guide your every decision. And even if you do run into an issue, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So my only real experience that was somewhat similar to this was I was doing an aquarium job in Lexington, Kentucky, where we were installing the world's largest private jellyfish aquarium, which is a whole bunch of like qualifiers.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's not the world's largest aquarium by a mile, and it's not the world's largest jellyfish aquarium by a mile, but it was the world's largest private jellyfish aquarium.
This is exactly how when someone's breaking a world record, this is always how they're doing it.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. It's like first person to like ride a unicycle while like carrying seven pizzas.
Right.
Or something. It's like, well, like, are people really trying to break that one?
Right, yeah. Like maybe you're the only person who ever did it?
Right. Still impressive. Still, I mean, I don't want to take anything away, but you know. But so it was this like really cool job where there was this like really bizarre restaurant in Lexington that was like I think the people maybe who own like Cheddar's restaurant, which tend to also have aquariums in them.
Yeah.
They had like traveled the world, like had gone all these like different places, found all these like super cool restaurants, and they took like all of the ideas of any cool restaurant you've ever heard of and they put them all into one restaurant. And so it was like a strange patchwork quilt of like cool ideas that other restaurants have done, except all of them.
Right.
Including a gigantic cylindrical jellyfish aquarium that was dropped through a hole in the roof, which was eventually replaced with a golden cupola, which is like a thing. And then inside there was like all these like bubble walls, and there was like a tequila bar and all sorts of just like really unusual things that all went into the particular restaurant. But we were there while it was being built because we were installing the aquarium. And the guys I was working with were from Florida, and they had to go home for like a month before we were going to be able to go back, and like the concrete was poured so we can finish doing our job. And because we lived in Virginia, the guy I was with was like, well, I'm going to fly home. You drive my Ford F-350 Super Duty dually like 6 hours back to Virginia. And so that's like windy West Virginian roads and all sorts of like crazy stuff. And like I'm driving this just behemoth of a vehicle, like hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
And this is like one of those things where like whenever you like drive up to somebody driving a particularly huge truck, I feel like you always sort of like do that like audible eye roll where like this guy really thinks he's something.
Yeah.
Well, if you saw inside of that vehicle, you would have seen this like terrified small guy gripping the steering wheel as tightly as I could. Mm-hmm. Just like I was like, you know, going like 50 miles an hour the whole way home. Just
of course.
Like, oh yeah. I mean, so terrified, and everything to do with it was like a total unknowns. Like I'd never driven a vehicle this big before, and I was driving it so far, and it was like a diesel, which means you have to fill it up with diesel, which is a different kind of fuel.
Yeah.
In case you're, you know, unawares.
Yeah.
But even that, it was like pulling up to the thing and like having never picked up that green handled like pump before. I was like, is this the right one? It's like, if I pour, you know, it's also like a 97 gallon tank or something.
Right.
Like that. You know, it's gigantic. It's like, if I put the wrong fuel inside of this vehicle, it is ruined. Like,
if I pump 97 gallons of the wrong kind of gasoline in here, I'm going to have a 97 7-gallon problem.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
I don't know how to get it out. I don't know if that already damaged the engine. I don't know if it's going to run again. Did I break it?
Ugh. Right. And so that's the other thing, too, is that, like, people might have their opinions about, like, gigantic trucks, but when it really comes down to it, like, this vehicle probably costs, like, $120,000.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
It's so easy to see, like, a super fancy sports car or whatever and be like, whoa, wouldn't want to, like, scratch that or something. It's like, dude, if you're near a huge truck, that thing costs a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like this is this like 23-foot long liability driving through
a long truck
half of the mid-Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my glorious experience. But the thing, okay, so there's this other thing. It's like a topic that I wrote down for coming into this particular episode. That was a circumstance where it was just presented before me that I was going to have to do something that I didn't have any experience doing. Like,
right.
I knew how to drive a vehicle, obviously.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like it was a total unknown. But there is this, like, thing I think that I have slowly come to realize about myself, and that it is my reality is the knowledge that I am perfectly okay relying on my ability to know something when I need to know it, more than attempting to know that something before that moment.
Like, okay, that's... you might have to break that down. It's a confusing sentence.
It is a confusing sentence. Good point. I wrote it down and then read it as I was talking, which is how I was able to get it out the way that I like thought it for the first time. So the idea here being that, like, I think so frequently I have, like, thrown ideas out to you before. It's like, well, why don't we just do this? And you're like, well, we don't know anything about that. And it's like, in my mind, so frequently it's like, well, I'm not going to, like, go and collect information that could be useful to me someday without knowing directly how I'm going to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
I am basically in this position of, like, I trust that if I need to figure out how to install, like, a cooktop in a food truck, that when that day comes, I can figure out how to do it. I've never done it before. I have no idea how to do it, and I have no idea what I don't know about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I can figure it out.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, to me, it's never an obstacle as I'm looking at a potential project to be like, oh, but I don't know how to do that or that or that. It's just sort of like, when the day comes, I'll figure it out. Like,
uh-huh.
Like, I know, and that's, like, one of these things that, like, I feel like I'm totally and completely fine with. But the double-edged sword to it is that I typically am unwilling to do any research any period before when I know that I'm actually going to put it into application.
Yes, I'm very familiar with this aspect of you. And my guess is that this notion has both served you well and poorly at many times.
Good point. Good point. I too have noticed that exact phenomenon. I think it's like the almost the exact opposite. This is, like, a weird situation. So, like, we've talked about, like, my fear of, like, starting my own vlog before, because,
yeah,
like, it would enter into, like, areas of doing something, like, I don't know how to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm almost too qualified on what knowing what to do looks like that it intimidates me that I won't be able to do it. So sometimes I think I'm protected by that, like, unknown.
Uh-huh.
It's like, because I am, like, blissfully ignorant of how hard something might be, I'm not intimidated by how hard it will ultimately be to learn all of those things.
I see.
But having lived in the world of YouTube and seeing how people who are really good at it do what they do, it's like, oh man, I am not as talented as they are, so there's no way I can touch what they do.
Right, like, you've seen too much of, like, how the sausage is made.
Yes, and it's like, man, sausage is difficult.
Right.
It's a tricky thing. The casing, I mean, is it organic or is it made? I don't know.
Seems like in some cases it could be either.
Could be either. That was a sausage reference, you know,
yeah,
like the casing.
Yeah,
okay.
I got it.
Okay.
I understand basic sausage production.
But do you?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I know you have, like, the grinder and you put the meat in and you put it in the casings and you twist it off and you know.
That is how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Let it hang for how long?
Yeah. Although I think, yes, exactly. I don't know how long. I think probably indefinitely sounds okay.
Indefinitely?
Not indefinitely, but yeah, maybe I don't know.
Okay. That's just a funny.
The casing is supposed to keep it good for a long time.
Is that what the casing does? I guess it is what it does.
I mean, I think of, like, a butcher shop that is, like, you always think of, like, all those sausages hanging from the ceiling.
Is that in cartoons or is that real?
Why would they put it in cartoons if it wasn't real? That would be a weird thing to fictionalize.
Well, good point. It seems like they're always, like, just, like, hot dogs.
Well, but
like a giant, like, a rope of hot dogs that, like, Scooby-Doo can, like, climb if he needs to and then promptly eat right after that.
Right, exactly. Boy.
Doubles as rope.
I think the thing also about making sausage is like that phrase, knowing how much the sausage is made, is often more a reference to like, you don't want to know because it's kind of gross. So do I even want to know how sausage is made? Because that might ruin sausage for me.
No, but I think that is the origin of the phrase.
What a weird problem to confront. It's like, I probably don't want to look up how hot dogs are made because then it'll ruin hot dogs for me. And it's like, yeah, but you know that it will be ruined, but that doesn't stop you from eating it.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah, it's like,
shouldn't that knowledge, like, I can hold out that it's perfectly easy and not gross at all.
Your brain has plausible deniability on the origins of the hot dog. It's exactly. Like, I'm 99% sure it's bad, but 1% of me is like contemplating like, it might not be.
Right. On the other hand, there's hot dogs on the grill in front of me and I'm hungry, so.
Here we go.
Dude, I can't remember the last time I ate a hot dog though.
What? Yeah. I ate 4 on Monday.
You ate 4 hot dogs on Monday?
I sure did.
I think maybe the last time I had one was at Disney World and I got a footlong chili dog.
I find that footlong hot dogs are disappointing always.
Okay. Let me tell you this story then.
You can edumacate me?
Yes. I would say that in general, yeah, if you see footlong hot dog, what you're at best getting is about, I don't know, 10 inches or so.
Oh, sure.
And you're getting...
is this a, like, pull up like the measuring stick?
Right. It's like what they're talking about is a longer than the bun hot dog, basically.
Sure.
Right. And at that, a disappointing one.
Always.
I will say, though, at Disney World, they are like not messing around with the footlong hot dog.
Oh.
It was like massive.
It's a proper footlong.
It was probably more than.
What?
And... like, I mean, I can't even tell you. It was just huge. And like, not like some skimpy, like, you know, looks like just an extra long hot dog. This is like a proper big thing.
Because this is what I would say about footlong hot dogs is that to me, it's almost like, you know, like when you played with Play-Doh as a kid and you like rolled it on the table.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, let's say you had like 1/4 cup of Play-Doh, which you could then mold into like a normal sized hot dog.
Uh-huh.
To me, a footlong hot dog is literally taking that exact same amount of Play-Doh mm-hmm. and just rolling it longer. So it's just a longer, thinner hot dog.
Right.
Made of the exact same amount of hot dog.
Right.
The only novelty is that it is extended.
It is longer. It is not even the same width as a regular. This was like bigger, longer. I was impressed. Because especially when you're at like a concessions or like cafeteria setting with a footlong hot dog, you're not expecting much.
No. I'm actually surprised you went for it to begin with.
Well, here's the thing is that I saw someone else walking past me with one on their tray and I was like, I'm interested.
I'm gonna try that.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's amazing. Yeah, so that would be my take, though, is that in general, I think that footlong hot dogs, no good. Sounds like you've had a rare opportunity where are good. But otherwise, so I just got a new grill, which is the reason why I had hot dogs.
Oh.
Because it was like, it's like basically, I got a new grill, and I have cooked literally every single meal on it since then. Just feel like, it's like, well, I'm gonna throw whatever I can on this thing. What I have found is that when I was a kid, I really didn't like it when, like, hot dogs, like, where the casing, like, broke, and it like looked all like whatever. But as an adult, I'm the exact opposite. It's like, I like flame broil my hot dogs so they're like exploding at the seams.
Okay, so when you say hot dog, you mean like just like not like a bratwurst or something?
I would say actively not a bratwurst, no, but I tend to buy like a beefier hot dog in general.
Okay.
Like I don't buy like, okay, so like the other day, Allie came home and she had bought like Ballpark Franks.
Yeah.
And I was like, Allie, what were you thinking?
What is the brand of Ben Carlin's preferred hot dog?
Nathan's.
Oh, Nathan's.
Nathan's would come to mind as a top shelf option. Otherwise, I think Hillshire Farm makes like hot beef links.
That's hot beef links.
Hot beef links. And I would say that that's like gourmet hot dog category.
Okay.
So this is like instead of getting like 8 hot dogs in a package, you get 5, which I always think is weird. Like, why 5? Why not 6?
Oh,
or 4?
This is like, why don't they sell hot dog buns in the same quantity as the dogs?
It's very frustrating.
It is, because you got to buy more of one.
Yes. So those are the ones that I tend to get. And that I would say that those are like verging closer to a bratwurst, like a more of like an actual like meal.
It sounds to me like you would prefer the dog to the brat.
I tend to prefer the dog to the brat. This is like, but I don't know why. Like, this is almost like a strange gap in like even my existence in our family. Like, I feel like the whole family, it's like, if it's like brat night, night, it's like, ooh, we're having brats. And we're going to like soak them in a beer bath with peppers and onions and like the whole thing. And I'm like, can I get a hamburger instead?
Do you know what? I've observed the same phenomenon in our family. And yet, what is interesting to me about this phenomenon is that, like, you were correct. That when dad is grilling up the brats, it is like an occasion. It's like, yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And it does feel like that's the food you're supposed to eat.
Yes.
Right? And yet, I would say that of the five members of our family, just like, you, me, mom, dad, and Ty.
Yep.
That only me and dad actually eat the brats.
No, I think Tyler does too.
Oh, does he?
I think he does.
I don't know. I feel like the phenomenon I've observed is that like less than a majority of the people are actually eating the brats.
And oh.
yet everyone else is left feeling like they're the ones in the wrong.
Interesting. Interesting. Maybe you're right. It's been a beat since this particular occasion has arisen.
Yeah, dad.
Seriously. Have more backyard cookouts.
I know. Come on. I mean, I know we're in the middle of a global pandemic here, but brat night.
Eventually, when it's time.
Yeah.
When it's appropriate. That is funny because you're absolutely right. There's no two ways about it. Is that like when it feels like we're having brats for dinner and like the hamburgers are being made as like a like for that one cousin who only like is particular about like their food.
Right.
It's like, well, you got to make it for them because, you know, they don't eat the fun stuff. So and I feel like it like brings me so much pain that I'm not on the side of that situation that I want to be on.
Right.
But like it's one of these things where I do think that it's not just like I could like tolerate the meal. It's almost like the type of thing where I would stop eating it because I don't like the food.
Interesting.
Yeah, like it's like a strange kind of like, it's not just like food that I would tolerate. Like what is like meatloaf, for example, is like I'm not a fan of meatloaf in general.
Right.
But like if it's placed in front of me and like, you know, it's dinner or whatever, then it's kind of like, okay, like
I'll eat it.
I will consume dinner. This is like so far on the other end of the spectrum that it is actually something where it's like, yeah, I'm going to not finish.
Oh, interesting.
Which actually, I would say that there's almost this like slightly liberating thing that has happened since being an adult is there used to be this like phenomenon as a child where when I was presented with food that I really like was uninterested in or like didn't think I was going to like or something, I always felt like very like claustrophobic in those moments. Like, like if I don't eat this, then I know I'm going to be hungry. And if I don't eat this, I know it will not be acceptable to seek out later food at another time. And so this was like a big deal at like friends' houses growing up. Like if their parents made like a dish that was like super common to their family, but like I didn't eat salmon or something. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was like, Ben, you finished the food.
Right.
And it was like you found a way to eat it. And it would like stress me out. I would be like pulse racing. And as an adult, it's almost like in the very rare circumstances where it happens, if like there's a scenario where like I'm presented with a meal that is either not filling or something that like I would choose to like opt out of or something, is the idea that I can leave and go buy a pizza.
Right.
It's like, and that's like totally fine.
Right.
You know, it's like, so it has happened on a small handful of occasions in my life where I was like, you know, kind of like picking up my food a little bit, like shoving it around your plate to make it look a little more finished.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, but the best part is I get to go and get a large pepperoni after this.
Oh, man. When? Is there a particularly memorable occasion or food you couldn't stomach?
The only thing I can think of is there was one specific time, and ironically, the food that was placed before me was pizza.
Interesting.
But it was like pizza with every single thing on it. Like the whole available options. And that was like literally how they ordered the pizza. It was like, we want a pizza with everything on it.
Right, like we want an everything pizza. And what I mean is, you there at the pizza station where you've got your large, you know, you've got 40 toppings in front of you. I want your hand in every single one of those containers.
Every container.
Right.
And it was just, and so what really I think got me was the anchovies, which I think it would have been fine. They're incredibly salty.
Right.
And so it was like, I would like eat it. I'm like, oh my God, like this is like intolerable. Like it's so much. And so the other thing I'm trying to do is like scrape through, because I'm already sort of like a pizza purist to begin with. Like I like pepperoni
like
pizza.
Pepperoni, man.
Yeah. I'm like locked and loaded on that. So like, you know, I'm kind of trying to go through. I'm like, I like black olives, mushrooms, you know, green peppers, like, you know, kind of flick these things off here and there. And you're like, it's kind of hard to navigate the waters of like, which of these are the anchovies? Because they kind of look like mushrooms a little bit. And
yeah.
So, and at some point in time, you kind of look ridiculous, like
right.
picking stuff like off of your pizza.
Yeah.
And I feel even worse because it was being given to me as like a thank you for help that I had provided. And
this sounds like an ill-conceived thank you
well,
to me.
I think at the time I felt maybe like a ping of the same way where it was kind of like,
who orders everything pizza?
I don't know.
This is like,
I don't know.
I feel
because so bad.
There's like most pizza places have like probably 40 plus topping options.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and this must have included, there must have been like pineapples with like, not every flavor goes together.
Exactly.
And you can put literally any flavor you want on a pizza.
Just merge it all together.
So you must have had like ground beef and cheddar cheese and pineapples and anchovies.
Yeah, all on one pizza.
All on one pizza.
And the thing is, that every single time I've thought about this, I felt like the least gracious person in the world because it was just like a very nice gesture for...
Such a people pleaser, Ben.
I know. But I think it was even the type of thing where they're like, do you have any preferences? I'm like, I'm fine with whatever. Not thinking that whatever could possibly be... Like, I think in my mind, I was like, well, when it comes to like ordering pizza for people maybe where you don't know their preference, like the classics are probably like... All pepperoni, all sausage, cheese,
or supreme, or
maybe like a vegetarian option, which I guess like cheese would be anyway.
Yeah, I agree. If you're like, if you're ordering for an unknown crowd,
yeah,
the list of available options are cheese, pepperoni, sausage. Vegetarian.
Right.
Those are...
It's the common slate.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I think I was just like, I was caught so, so off guard by it. But like, it is one of these things where I think that like whenever presented with something, I never want people to know that like I'm squirming on the inside. So mm-hmm. like there is always this added battle that's going on where like I'm attempting to front like everything is completely normal. It's like there'd be like no circumstances where someone like would like see my poker face or whatever, where it's like where I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you should play poker, Ben.
Well, I think it's different when it's playing poker because then you're like too aware of how the sausage is made.
Oh, I see.
You know, like it's like
right.
it's like part of the game is not showing your hand, and therefore I have to. But nobody knows I'm playing the game in the real world. Although
I just described like my whole life, Ben.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So, do you feel like you're like always sort of like quietly having like your own discourse inside of your brain while like other things are happening before you?
I mean, I feel like I often have an agenda that I am manipulating to get my way.
No way.
Yes. Never. It's not. That sounds like
horrible. Yeah. No, it does for sure.
Yeah. It's not to make it sound like I shall rise through the ranks of power. Like, that's not at all what I mean.
Right. It depends on what your agenda is. And if your agenda is getting your flavor of pizza, then that feels a little less like.
Yes. That is the scale of ambition
we're
talking about. Something that like, oh yeah, where does Jonathan want to go to lunch? I suggested it the last 3 days. How do I still get to go where I want today?
That. No, I do understand that. See, that I think that literally it's funny you say that because I think that when it comes, I think that I like my independence because I get to have my own agenda mm-hmm. without having to put it onto anyone else.
Or so I would have you believe.
Are you controlling me? This feels scary.
No.
No, but so I think that, yeah, like I think for me, a lot of times, like the idea of being solo comes with the perk of like, I can go and do this the way that I want, because if I'm with literally anyone else, I would never enforce my own agenda over anybody else's agenda.
Right.
Which maybe is probably part of like why, like how you and I fit together as like just friends outside of just also being brothers.
Right.
Is this sense of like, if you have a stronger opinion about where we should go in general, I'm just sort of fine with that.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, well, that's fine. Like,
right.
we don't have to go to war over.
Yeah,
where we have lunch.
Yeah.
So no, but that is really interesting because I think we would have literally the exact opposite ideologies in terms of the way that like we would be going about something.
No, not entirely, because you just said you wouldn't want to like force your agenda on like someone like over their own.
Sure.
Right. See, I would say I'm the same way. I don't want to like force anyone. I don't want to be like, oh no, do it this way instead.
Right.
But the thing is, you just have to try and find a way to get what you want without revealing your agenda. So I'm not trying to like, I would never like force it on somebody. Like you're operating under the assumption that people are going to be able to read straight through your poker face and be like, all Ben wants is what he's aiming for.
That's
what it sounds like.
I know. I do understand what you're saying. I'm trying to think of like circumstances where I desperately want something to happen and I figure out a way to go about ensuring that result,
mm-hmm.
because it does feel like such a generally rare pool of motivation for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of like things that I have done in my life. So one thing I would say in particular is one of the things that like I particularly love doing is going snowboarding.
Yeah.
And when I started dating Allie, it was like she had like gone skiing before, but it was sort of like here, there, everywhere. One of her friends was like on the ski team in college or something. Mm-hmm. So like she had gone more than never.
Right.
But certainly not like frequently to the point where it was something she would identify as like a personal hobby.
Yeah.
And so this was one of these things where like for Christmas over the course of like 3 years, I slowly was giving her like gloves and a beanie and like a ski jacket and a mask.
Playing the long con.
And like ski pants. And then like finally after like 3 years of doing this, I finally gave her like boots and skis.
Yeah.
And it has not worked at all. We do not go skiing.
Right. Well, see, yeah. I mean, like, again, I feel like I'm sounding really like maniacal or something.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, people generally understand that that's your resting demeanor. So
right.
it's fine. That's why you're the
special guest.
Air quote special guest.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. The specialist of guests. But this is like, I think we've told the story on the pot before where like how like at a, let's bring it back to pizza.
Okay.
Let's like, yeah, pizza. You're at a party. People are going to order a pizza. You want more pizza and you've done the math and realized, boy, if we're only on like two pizzas, I'm only going to get like a slice.
Yeah.
So I'll offer to order. I'll just order toppings no one's going to want and then I'll get more pizza.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
See.
So you're not putting anybody, like, you're not...
Like, my goal is I want more pizza.
Your goal is you want more pizza.
Right.
Okay, I see.
This is my low level...
This is like your strong opinions about things that don't matter. It's like you are like super manipulative about things that don't matter.
Exactly.
Like, okay, I see. Okay. That adds up. I could see that explaining so many situations throughout my entire life.
Oh, man.
So I have to ask you this then, because when we started Super Carlin Brothers, we've told the story 1,000 times before. The whole idea was that like you lived at home still with mom and dad. You had already graduated college. I was graduating college, did not want to move home. And so I was like, well, hey, why don't like we just move into this house together that I found and it'll be great. Like we can move out of mom and dad's and it'll be cheap for both of us. Then it'll be like a perfect idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, Ben, I will only move into that house with you if you agree to do this YouTube project with me. Is that like the type of thing where you could have been like, I would not,
or like I was gonna do it anyway?
Well, yeah. Like you're like, I would not be opposed to moving out, and it is a good deal, and it's not a bad house, and it's conveniently located, and this could work out well. But also,
no, I was not like, ooh, you know what, I think I have a bargaining chip here.
Okay.
Yeah, no, genuine deal.
Genuine deal. Okay. It lives on.
Yeah, because I was saving so much money living at home.
Well, it wasn't that expensive where we lived.
Well, I know, but also was not, making tons of money either.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, same here. Yeah, the aquarium industry does not exactly pay well in general.
I see.
Yeah, that's kind of a, scrape by kind of thing.
I guess so.
Scrape by both in the aquarium and financially. That's an algae scraping joke.
That's an algae scraping joke. Even I know about that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, guys, well, for our question of the week that we will pose to you guys is, which are you more like, Jay or myself, in that do you typically have an agenda that you are attempting to get your friend group to like morph to in a way that doesn't reveal that you have one and how good are you at it? Or are you just like the go with the flow type of person where it's like, well, I'll just do whatever everybody else says and like I'll choose to go and do things my way when nobody else is there to be encumbered by it?
I feel like I'm pretty go with the flow.
Pretty go with, I would say, well, I'd say you're pretty go with the flow.
For the most part.
Yeah. You want to go to Moe's?
Oh, no. You
just... I just poked him right in the ribs.
Now you're just like gaslighting me over here.
Jay has a long-standing relationship, we'll call it, with Moe's.
With Moe's Southwest Grill?
Yeah, I would say it's like an ex-girlfriend, but one you, like, never dated, It's just like...
No, I feel like I did date Moe's.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was, I mean... We can maybe we're running over on time here, but maybe we'll get into this at a different date. But in my early, my college freshman roommate came from Northern Virginia, and he was like, one of the greatest failures of Radford, Virginia was that it could not provide him with a Chipotle. And like, I just had to hear about, oh, Chipotle is the best. Oh, I love it so much. And like, this was like when Chipotle was like on the rise.
Okay.
I feel like it was just sort of becoming trendy and, you know, it was picking up steam.
Sure.
And so I heard the sentiment a lot, like, oh, it's the best place ever. So anyway, like a couple years later, I've transferred to tech and they open a Moe's and it just felt like, I'd never even been to Chipotle, but it just felt like I had built up this resentment because people like had just talked, like, it just like felt like they had so overhyped it
or something. It can't be that good.
Just like, but like, here we have, here in Blacksburg at Tech, we don't have Chipotle, we have Moe's. And it was like, it was like such a victory or something in my mind. I don't know why. And I would go and I would love it. And it was so good. And I like enjoyed it so much. And then at our old office, we were right across from a Moe's and Roanoke had finally also gotten a Chipotle. And for the longest time, I was like, well, I mean, I've been eating a Chipotle because it's, you know, it's like a burrito. It's awesome.
I mean, yeah,
like, everyone loves it.
Let's not scoff burritos,
you know, or anything like that. But, and it's like more convenient. But now that we're right next to the Moe's, jackpot.
Right.
Right? Fantastic. Ben, like, do you see, like, the height from which Moe's had to fall? Like, there was almost nothing they could do to dislodge their brand loyalty, in my mind, from themselves.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
I feel like what has truly happened. Maybe I have misunderstood the relationship you did formerly have with Moe's.
Yeah.
Like, so it didn't fall from nowhere. It fell from the graces.
And like the great burrito war had been won in my mind, you know?
Right.
Moe's or Chipotle, I'm on Team Moe's. That's what we had at Tech. That's what we had at my college. That's where I'm going to take my kids to eat burritos.
It is an important decision.
I mean, the level of things they had to do wrong to dislodge themselves from such a firm first place was like, that's what makes it so. And then on the flip side, Chipotle just surpassed them in every... I'm not going to get into all the details. I could, but it'll take another, I don't know.
Oh, we'll be here for a while.
We'll be here for a while. But just let it be known that my position on the matter is that Chipotle is so much better than Moe's in every way possible, and that I don't like Moe's at all.
There you go. Also, everybody can provide feedback on where you will take your kids to get their burritos.
Options include Chipotle or Qdoba. Moe's is not an available one.
Moe's is not a correct answer.
Yeah.
Otherwise, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/popcornculture. It is how we determine every week who the one true host will be. We have three tiers. They're all the same value. One of them is host Buzzy B, that's me, host Jazzy J, that's Jay, or host neither, where we just get 15 seconds of silence after the running jingle of music.
That'd be no fun. You wouldn't hear from the one true host or the most special guest, me.
We're still not sure about that title. Otherwise, I want to give special thanks to these patrons this week. Rebecca Sumner, Felix Bergman, Bill Conrad, Roxanne Byrne, Sarah Schnee, Louise Torres, and Mitchell Harlow. Thank you to all you guys for your support on Patreon. We do appreciate it just so very much. Otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop, pop.